Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Welcome back to Drive Time. Kenyan police have reportedly fired and shot at a group of chanting supporters of opposition leader Raila Odinga after the presidential candidate claimed massive fraud in this week's election. In fact, the elections happened yesterday. According to reports, the shooting took place today when protesters clashed with police and one person was reportedly killed. Now joining us online from Nairobi, Kenya is Nick Chisman, who is Democracy Professor at Birmingham University. Nick, good afternoon and thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you tonight.
Nick, just tell us what is coming out of Kenya, because what we understand is that violence has erupted in the capital.
I think we have to be a little bit careful. This is a very big country, and at the minute we have two sporadic bits of violence. We have problems in Kibera, a slum area near the capital, Nairobi. We have problems in Kisumu, which is an opposition heartland area. Those are really the two areas that are problematic right now. I'm sitting in the central business district of Nairobi, and things are very calm and we don't have protests. So whilst things are very tense here and there have been some incidents of clashes with the police, I think it's also important not to over-exaggerate the extent of instability.
We have also seen that the opposition candidate Raila actually has rejected the provisional results as of today, indicating a strong fraud against the president, Uhuru Kenyatta. Is that correct?
Yes, we've had a number of statements by opposition leaders increasingly critical of the official results that have been coming up on a live stream that everybody has been checking online, initially saying that they were wrong and then saying that the whole process was fraudulent and essentially challenging the whole electoral system. Now, one of the things that the opposition leaders have wanted the IEBC to do is to put the signed forms, put copies of the signed forms of the election results, which are signed not just by electoral officials, but also by party agents, to put those online so that people can check them. And that's one of the things the IEBC has been doing today. And so we're now able to start checking the actual official results against the results that have been appearing online to make sure that they match up.
Yes, but going by the polling data from the IEBC, it says 54.3% actually in favor of Kenyatta and Odinga polling 44 at the moment. What do you think are the factors that are affecting this election?
Well, we have a number of factors affecting the election. I mean, obviously, one of the things that helps Kenyatta in general, and of course, we don't have a final election result yet, so it's very important to say that we do not have an election result here in Kenya. We don't have the final results from the IEBC. But one of the things that helps somebody like Uhuru Kenyatta is the advantages of incumbency. And of course, we know that he has the advantage of being in the government, of being able to therefore influence government. We know that he has greater access to resources than Raila Odinga, and so on. And those things have clearly helped him and assisted him in this campaign. I think it's fairly clear that the Jubilee government has outspent its opponents in this contest, and that will be one of the things that will have helped them if they are indeed successful.
And talking about the advantage of the incumbency, we have seen that there is massive bribes and rigging and also the violence that we are talking about. Do you think ethnicity is also playing a role?
Well, ethnicity, you know, has always played a factor in Kenyan elections and politics. It's sometimes been exaggerated. Things here are very rarely as straightforward as an ethnic census. We have ethnic communities that divide in two and don't fully support one leader. And we have leaders from different ethnicities standing on both sides of the political divide in some cases. But yes, ethnicity is very important, and individuals often feel that only a leader from their community can be really trusted to look after their interests. And in that sense, ethnicity and self-interest and kind of economic voting all fuse into one.
From your own observation, as a person who is there in Kenya, we do understand that the former Secretary of State, the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry, as well as South African former President Thabo Mbeki, are also there. Have they said anything? Have they issued any statement concerning what we are seeing now in terms of violence?
No, I think we've heard the observers and international leaders appeal for calm. We've heard them appeal for patience. We've heard them sort of say they want to see a good quality process. Since the last set of controversies, they haven't really spoken, and I think they're waiting to see what happens when people start to compare the forms against the data that we've got and to see whether or not they match up, and they're waiting to see how the IEBC responds, I think, to some of the criticism of the opposition. And my sense is that they might start to make statements tomorrow, but they probably will feel it's premature to make them today.
And how do you assess the situation if, because Mr. Odinga is actually insisting that, according to his belief, he's leading. Do you think Kenyatta supporters will just accept that?
Well, obviously, it's a very tense situation. We have two sides, both of which say that they've won and they're very confident of winning. And obviously, sooner or later, someone has to give. If we're to avoid a kind of political conflict. I think one of the things that we'll know over the next day or so is, do the results support the accusations of rigging, in which case pressure will build on the government to make concessions, or do the results actually show that there hasn't been as much rigging and maybe the results are plausible? And if that happens, I think more pressure will build on Odinga to concede. And I think a lot will depend on the credibility of the process and what the IEBC does next. To the credit of the IEBC, they've said that they will investigate all of the accusations brought by the opposition, and on issues like making the forms available and allowing people to see these forms that have been signed at the polling station level, they've tried to do that and they're doing that today. So I think you can say that the IEBC is trying to deal with some of the issues the opposition puts on the table, and one of the big things for the next 10 hours is really how well do they do that and what do people like the international observers say. I think if the international observers come down and say that actually they think this process has been reasonably good, it's going to become increasingly difficult for Raila Odinga to make the kinds of statements he has in the last 24 hours.
And at a press conference, Raila has been quoted as having said that he doesn't control the people. Do you think this may be a call for action, you know, going forward?
So far, we've heard the opposition leaders say, you know, Kalonzo Musyoka, one of the leaders who stands next to Raila, is one of the principal leaders of the NASA opposition alliance, has said that they don't want their supporters to cause instability. They want people to go to work and go about their daily lives. But he also said in the same statement that they may at some point need to call on their people to go to the streets in an effort to overturn this result. So opposition leaders are at the minute calling for peace and calm, and at the minute they're saying they don't want to see their supporters go directly to the streets. But they're clearly holding that threat back and hoping, you know, keeping open that potential for that to be a strategy that they might utilize in future. And as I said, I think one of the things that will depend on that is whether we see further evidence that there are problems in the elections, which will exacerbate that issue, or whether we see that actually some of the electing processes seem to have been fairly well followed, when hopefully opposition leaders at that point would start to feel that perhaps that wasn't the right course of action.
Nick Chisman is a democracy professor at Birmingham University. Nick, thanks very much for joining us, and we hope to continue with you in the next week or so.
My pleasure. I hope you have good news to talk about tomorrow.
Thank you very much.